I'm not trying to badger with all these things about evolution. I just wanted to, I don't expect you to remember these things. There won't be a test later. But I would like for you to get, this is our third series going through these things, this one particularly, arguing that life is so complex that chance processes, even over billions of years, cannot explain its origin. It's too complex. And the point of this is I want to just share with you over and over and over again all these problems that evolution has. You listen to the world, you listen to, so-called science, and they think it's been proven, and it hasn't, and it's not even close. Today we want to look at a thing called genetic distances. William running for cover. genetic distances. One of the things that's interesting is that within science, you have the theories, and these people just say, this is the way it is. And then, as time passes, they get these technologies that can measure things more and more and more precisely. Now, the way this works is that the more precise the scientists can measure things, the more in error evolution is being shown. We were mentioning before that Darwin said, well, it wouldn't take much for some proteins to be thrown together, and then you have that simple one-celled animal. See? And now, with their microscopes that go down to even microscopic molecular size, they find out that one-celled animal is extremely complex. And you might as well say that you made a computer by throwing paper clips in a wastebasket, as to say you toss some proteins in there, and find out now that the proteins are destroyed in oxygen, and yet life has to have oxygen to live. So you have to actually have the proteins into a life form before oxygen will be any benefit. So this is it. Now here's another one, genetic distances. Similarities between different forms of life can now be measured with sophisticated genetic techniques. Proteins. Genetic distances can be calculated by taking a specific protein and examining the sequence of its components. You've heard about the genome project and the sequencing of DNA and so on. The fewer changes needed to convert a protein of one organism into the corresponding protein of another organism, supposedly the closer the relationship. Now, I don't really understand what that means, but you can see that if evolution was true and one creature, one species evolved into the other, then when you examine down to the protein level, you'd expect them to be maybe a little different, or they wouldn't be a different species, but very similar, right? That would be the expectation. That would be the normal evolutionary expectation. These studies seriously contradict the theory of evolution. Dr. Colin Patterson, senior principal scientific officer in the paleontology department of the British Museum of Natural History, gave a talk on the 5th of November, 1981 to leading evolutionists at the American Museum of Natural History. Patterson explained to a stunned audience that this new information, measuring the protein values, contradicts the theory of evolution. In his words, quote, "The theory makes a prediction. The theory of evolution makes a prediction. We've tested it, and the prediction is falsified precisely." Put it to the test, found it's wrong. An early computer-based study of cytochrome C, which is a protein used in energy production, compared 47 different forms of life. All of them had this protein. This study found many contradictions with evolution based on this one protein. For example, according to evolution, the rattlesnake should have been most closely related to other reptiles. Instead of these 47 forms, all of which were sequenced at that time, the one most similar to the rattlesnake was man. And it ended up particularly lawyers. Who would have known? Somebody's a relative of a lawyer. I'm sorry, that's a joke. Since this study, experts have discovered hundreds of similar contradictions. Not one, not two, hundreds. DNA and RNA comparisons can also be made between the genetic material of different organisms. The list of organisms that have had all their genes sequenced and entered into databases, such as GenBank, is doubling each year. Let me say that again. The list of organisms that have all of their genes sequenced, that number is doubling every year. Computer comparisons of each gene with all other genes in the database show too many genes that are completely unrelated to any others. Therefore, an evolutionary relationship between the genes is highly unlikely. Furthermore, there is no trace at the molecular level for the traditional evolutionary series. It began with simple sea life, moved into fish, turned into amphibians, crawled up on the land, turned into reptiles, and they became mammals. That's what you hear, that's what is the basis of the whole evolutionary thing, and they're finding that, you know, reptile most like man, you know, just it doesn't fit. They put this to the test, and now that they can actually calibrate these things, it's proven false. How about humans versus chimpanzees? Sounds like a good soccer game to me. Evolutionists say that the chimpanzee is the closest living relative to humans. Well, that explains the guy down the street. For two decades, 84 to 2004, evolutionists and the media claimed that human DNA is about 99% similar to chimpanzee DNA. I mean, this is just a proclamation. There was no proof. They didn't have the ability to prove this yet. These false statements had little scientific justification because they were made before anyone had completed the sequencing of human DNA and long before the sequencing of chimpanzee DNA had begun. Now that it had, yes, ma'am. No, that's just identifying their DNA. The sequencing is all about what they're made of, and it's similar to that. But when they can get a hair follicle or a piece of skin or that type of thing, they can check the DNA, and it's more precise even than fingerprints. But this sequencing is all about showing the code within every cell that makes a person that particular person, or that chimpanzee, that particular chimpanzee. So, chimpanzee and human DNA have now been completely sequenced and compared. The overall differences are far greater and more complicated than evolutionists suspected. Divergences include about 35 million single nucleotide changes, 5 million insertions or deletions, and various chromosomal rearrangements. So some things are missing, some things are added, some things are rearranged. It's very different. Although it is only 4% of the DNA, the vast DNA chasm of critical differences separates humans from chimpanzees. Moreover, differences between the male portion of the human and chimpanzee sex chromosome are huge. More than 30% of those sequences in either the human or the chimpanzee do not match the other at all. Those that do contain massive rearrangements. The genetic differences are comparable to those between non-sex chromosomes in chickens and humans. They're that different. quote, studying human and Western chimpanzees, we found no hotspot sharing between the two species. Reported in Science, a fine-scale chimpanzee genetic map from population sequencing. And then finally, evolutionary trees. This is that where they draw it out, and here's the, you know, the ape ancestors and so on. And based on the outward appearance of organisms, can now be compared with the organism's genetic information. They conflict in major ways. So, you science itself puts it to the test, and they find that this is the only theory they got, so they stay with it. But there's no way that this matches. Comments or questions? Don't ask too many questions. I don't know what I'm talking about here, but it's you know, it's a serious matter when science has become, when evolution has become the scientist's religion, and you don't dare speak against it. That's heresy. It has nothing to do with science anymore. All right.